Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. Last week, Andrew and I began to minister from this great sixth chapter of Romans, and this is one of those paramount places, if not the paramount place in all of the Bible, because the sixth chapter of Romans gives us the specifics of what actually happened at Calvary. What happened, what was provided, what happened to us there, the benefits we can have now as children of God, and how those benefits are partaken of. Many things in the Bible will be very confusing to us if we don't understand Romans chapter 6. And as we said last week, Romans chapter 6 and Colossians, especially Colossians chapter 2, really reveal what happened at the cross that you can't see it. You can't see it unless you know and understand Romans chapter 6 and Colossians chapter 2. Even the people who stood there that day at the cross, who had believed that Jesus was the Messiah, and they had followed Him, and they had learned to love Him, and they believed that He was the one that came from heaven, they were confused by what happened. They didn't know that Jesus found the two guys on the road to Emmaus. You can read about it in Luke 24, and they were all downtrodden because they didn't really understand what happened at Calvary. And Romans chapter 6 reveals in the Spirit, in the sixth chapter, you can see in the Spirit what actually took place at Calvary. And again, if you don't know that, then you'll never be able to live for God in a victorious way. You can try hard, you can work hard, and you'll wonder why it's not working for you. You'll think things are going good for a while, and then they won't be because it's not working. You have to understand the cross. The more you understand the Scriptures in the light of the cross, the more you'll understand the Holy Spirit, and the more you'll understand everything in the Word of God. And let me say this one last thing before we get started, that when you begin to learn Romans chapter 6, you see that it was really two main things there. I was thinking about this today. Number one, the reason we even have this sixth chapter of Romans, 6, 7, and 8 actually, is because there was a man who was desperate to be able to live in a way that the wretchedness of who he had been and who he was experiencing himself to still be, he wanted to be free from that. He wanted to be free from the domination of the sin nature in his life. Are you that way? Aren't you glad that there is a way that you can live without being dominated by sin? But if you don't know this, there is no way. And so there was a man named Paul, and he was desperate. He wanted to please God. He didn't just say he did. He wanted to please God. And he would finally admit, who can save this old wretched man from this body of sin and death? He wanted to please God. He wanted to live for God, and he knew there had to be a way. And if that's you, then God will reveal what's written in Romans chapter 6 to you. And the second thing is, God wants that for everybody in the kingdom. God wants that for everybody that's a child of God. But we all have to find ourselves desperate. Nobody's going to begin to walk in or really even understand Romans chapter 6 if they're not seeking the avenue through which they can be pleasing to God and free from the things that are dominating them. That's why we have it again, let me say it, is because there was a man who was sincere with God, and he wanted to live in the victory that he knew Christ must be offering. And when God found that desperate heart, he poured this revelation into this man named Paul. And because he did, now you and I have access to this great treasure of truth that's written here for us. But let me say, unless God finds you desperate, this will never be anything but good reading. Unless God finds your heart desperate to please Him, desperate to want His will in your life, desperate to be delivered from that that thing that just keeps hindering you from living for God, then this will never be anything but good reading and just some sort of some theological something. But when your heart before God is desperate, He will explain Romans 6 to you, because it's the only way you will ever get deliverance after you're saved from being dominated by the sin nature.
Amen. I want to remind us real quick before we get started of what you said last week, last Wednesday night, about how nobody knew this until Paul wrote it, because the Holy Spirit gave this revelation to the Apostle Paul. And why is that important? It's important because nobody will know it now unless we learn it in the Scriptures. We have to learn this. That's why, as we're going to see in Romans 6:3, he starts by saying, "Don't you know? Don't you know this?" And just as you might ask, well, do we have to see it in the Word of God? Can I not have my own thing going on where God shows it to me? Well, people might use Peter and the disciples as an excuse and say, well, didn't they just get up on the day of Pentecost after they had the Holy Spirit and start preaching all these things they didn't know? No, they had heard all those things spoken to them by the living Word. When Peter got up on the day of Pentecost, he didn't learn a bunch of things. The Holy Spirit indwelled him in a moment, and he began to preach what he had already heard from Christ Jesus, the Lord, who walked with him for 3.5 years and taught him. And it wasn't until years after that that same Jesus saved the Apostle Paul, who was killing Christians, and used someone who did not even know Christ after the flesh to bring about a revelation of how to live for Christ in this mortal flesh. So I don't want us to ever think that, well, this is just too heady and high-minded and theological for me tonight, because it wasn't too much for God to take a man who was persecuting him in his church and to teach him this, and to use that same man to teach us even thousands of years later this truth today. So this truth, it still works. It works as good as it did 30 years ago. It works as good as it did 2,000 years ago, because it's all based on what Christ did at Calvary, which put spiritual laws into effect, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. And the call tonight, and the call in Romans 6, is not for you to graduate this teaching with some type of level of seminary knowledge of Greek language and whatnot. That's not the goal. The goal is for us to experientially believe and surrender to the truths of what we'll learn.
Amen. Romans chapter 6, verse 3 is where we'll dig in this evening. So if you got your Bibles, go ahead and open them there. Romans chapter 6, verse 3, the Bible says, "Know ye not?" Now remember, the Bible is the Word of God, and it was written by the Spirit of God through men. So when the Spirit of God here through Paul says, "Know ye not," it's because there was something that wasn't known. Wasn't known. This was not known, as we said last week, and Andrew just reminded us. "Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death?" This has absolutely nothing to do with water baptism. It's important that you know that. You cannot get saved in a tub of water. Water can't save you. Only the blood of Jesus can save you. If we had a baptismal tank, if we had our baptismal tank set up over here and somebody had got born again and we were baptizing them, and somebody was sitting in the back and they just jumped up and said, "I don't want to go to hell. I don't want to go to hell. Baptize me." We'd have to tell them that going in this tank ain't going to keep you out of hell. Only you believing from the heart what Jesus did at the cross will save you. And then you can be water baptized. And there are millions and millions of people who think that water baptism is saving them. But it can't, because that's what you're doing. That's what some man is doing. And you can't be saved by what anybody but Jesus did at Calvary, by dying for you. And so This is a powerful scripture. When this began to be revealed to me back in 2004 and 5, and the church began here, Crossway Church, in 2005, I probably preached Romans chapter 6, verse 3 for 3 years. Because you weren't immersed into Christ when you went to church. You weren't immersed into Christ when you started reading your Bible. When you started, you were immersed into Christ, into His death, when God saw your heart believing the gospel. The moment you heard the gospel and you believed it, then you were, by the operation of the faith of God, you were immersed into the death of Jesus. And you have to see it that way, because that's what God saw. God saw from heaven and His Son being crucified, and when His Son was being crucified, God saw every person who would ever believe in Jesus being immersed into Him 2,000 years ago, into His death. And let me say this tonight, whenever you're in a bookstore anywhere and you're looking for a commentary on the book of Romans, what I do is I always go to Romans 6 and 3. Right, I just turn over there to Romans 6 and 3, and if the guy's talking about water baptism, I put it back on the shelf. Because if he's talking about water baptism, he's not going to really have the information in his commentary that you need to live in victory. Because you were not immersed into a baptismal tank to get into Christ. Let's read it and believe just what it says. Don't you know that so many of us, as were immersed, baptized into Jesus Christ, were immersed, baptized into His death? You were placed in Christ when He was dying, because there He represented you. There He represented you in your sin, and when you believed in Him, then God saw not only Christ dying for you, but you dying with Him. You see, when the first Adam was in the Garden of Eden, the Bible says we were all in him, because he's the father of the whole human race. So you were in your daddy and your granddaddy and your great-granddaddy all the way back to Adam. The whole human race is in Adam. So you got to find out how to get out of the first Adam and into the last Adam. And the only way into the last Adam is by being immersed into his death. And that is through a simple faith in the death of Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins. But this is being written and was given to an already saved man. And this letter was being written to an already saved church. So what we're reading here, and we're going to see it as we move through this, is how to live the life that's now in Christ Jesus.
The very celebration of water baptism that we do, that every believer goes through when they get saved, does not save them, as we've already addressed. But that very act of going into the water and coming back out, it's really just reflecting what's already happened in the inside, in the heart of man, the circumcision of the heart, the cutting away of the flesh. And it's the same here in Romans 6:3. Don't you know that so many of us, as we're baptized into Jesus Christ, we're baptized into His death. When we gather together and have a baptismal Sunday, once again, it's reflecting what already took place the moment we got saved, the moment we got born again. You didn't have to do anything to be baptized into the death of Christ besides believe in Him and His death for your sins. That's what baptized you into Jesus Christ, is the Holy Spirit seeing your faith in Jesus Christ and what He did at Calvary. And the moment you believe, this baptism takes place. Cool. And you know, Luke chapter 3, verse 21 through 22, I'm not going to turn there, but it's the baptism of Jesus, one of those accounts of His baptism. And the Bible teaches there that Jesus was taken under the water and came up again, and the dove fell on Him, which was a symbol of the Holy Spirit. And that was God's approval, the Holy Spirit falling on what would happen at Calvary. His very baptism was symbolic of what He would do to His bride when He would baptize us into His death, burial, and raise us up again. When He went under the water, it was as He was dying. And He was under the water, it was as though He was buried. And when it came up, it was pointing to His resurrection. So water baptism in and of itself has no power. The power is in the baptism of death that happens the moment we all get saved. And even the baptism of Jesus pointed to what He would do at Calvary, as we've already heard, that faith of the operation of God, which took place when God laid us on the operating table, just as He laid out Adam and took a rib out of him. God laid out Christ and took a rib out of Him and made the church. Amen. So when we get saved, we're baptized not only into Christ, but into His death. And one more scripture just to share that we know it's true about this baptism that we endured by faith at Calvary. Luke chapter 12, verse 50, Jesus is talking and says, "But I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how I am straitened until it be accomplished." This is Jesus telling us that He is, the word straitened there means distress, which really just means Jesus was consumed with His mission, which was going to die for the sins of the world. And here the Bible calls it a baptism, but He was already baptized in water. So this isn't talking about water. This is talking about the spiritual baptism into death that all Christians go through the moment they get saved. And that really leads us to verse 3 here. Why do we need to know this? Paul opens the scripture there and says, "Don't you know?" So there is a reason we have to know.
Mm-hmm. There is a reason. And it's because if it's not the death of Jesus that we were immersed into through faith in His death, then we're not in Christ. The only people in the planet who's ever been in Christ are the people who have believed into Christ. You don't just believe in Christ, you believe into Christ. And that's the devils believe and tremble. We believe and tremble and are immersed into the death of Jesus. The last part they don't get. They believe and tremble. We believe and tremble unto the point of being immersed into the death of Jesus. Mark 16:16, a lot of your denominations in the world today will use this scripture to try to prove that you can't go to heaven if you're not water baptized, but it's only because they don't understand the power of the cross, and they don't understand Romans 6 at all. If they did, they wouldn't be telling folks you got to be water baptized to be saved. Because, you know, all the works of God, the Bible says in Ephesians 2:16, that we are ordained to walk in are in Christ Jesus. And you can't work your way into Christ. He did the work. You believe your way into Him. There's where all the works are. If you're doing something to get into Christ, you'll never get into Christ. Let me say that again. If you're working to get into Christ, you will never enter Christ. You have to enter in to Christ based on His work at Calvary, not your work. So that scripture in Mark 16:16 says, "He that believes and is baptized shall be saved." Well, that's not talking about water baptism. That's talking about baptized into the death of Jesus. Because water baptism can't save you. There are millions who believe it, that water, you have to be water baptized. There was, you know, the whole denomination, it's called the Church of Christ denomination. And this guy told me one time, he said, "You know, you're not going to heaven unless you get water baptized." And I said, "What about the soldier who's heard the gospel, but he rejected it, but then he's at war and he's shot and he thinks he's going to die. Pretty sure he's going to die here in a little bit because he's been shot up. And he remembers his grandmother telling him the gospel, or the captain telling him the gospel that he rejected, but now he's going to believe it out on the battlefield. He knows he's dying. He now need Christ. So he says, "Lord, save me. Forgive me of my sins." And the guy told me, he said, "That don't happen. Believe me, it does happen. And so, listen, what if the baptism tank is broke and somebody runs over you after church? See the stupidity of that. So it says again here in Mark 16:16, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believes not shall be damned. So believing and being baptized is into the one baptism that brings about salvation. And, you know, it's amazing the simplicity of the Scriptures. If you'll just study the Word, Ephesians 4:5 tells us that there's only one baptism. There's one baptism. Now, in Ephesians 4:5, right in that area, it lists several things. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, and different things, one hope of your calling. This is all talking about salvation, because we know there's more than one baptism. There's the baptism into Christ, death. There's the baptism by water, an act of obedience after. There's the Holy Spirit baptism that you can be filled with the Holy Spirit, baptized with the Holy Spirit. So there's only one baptism pertaining to salvation, and it's not a water tank. It's being immersed, baptized into the death of Jesus. It's important that you know this, because if you don't, you'll be working hard to try to experience what it means to be in Christ. And literally what it means to be in Christ is that you believed into Christ. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, and whosoever that believes into Him. Because that's what you're doing when you become a Christian. You're believing into Him. If you don't believe into Him, you still ain't saved. Your faith in what Christ did at Calvary immerses you into Him. And what have you been immersed into? The person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what you've been baptized into when you were immersed into Christ Jesus.
And God's way of justification has never changed. It's always been by grace and faith. And read Romans 4, even the old patriarchs, David and Abraham, were justified not by works but by faith. And I don't recall reading anywhere where those great men of God were baptized in a tank.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So God has changed His methods to now requiring under the new covenant of grace to be baptized in water to make it to heaven. That's just not biblical. It's just not biblical. But what it is traditional. And we come along the side of the Word of God's, and when we, the Word of God, excuse me, and when we even begin to twist it just a little bit, we find all these streams of false heretical doctrine coming along. Mm-hmm. Even if they take a while to form, mm-hmm. they will form if the Word of God is mixed, mm-hmm. anything other than Calvary. Mm-hmm. And that's just another byproduct of the mixture of Romans 6 here, is believing that it takes a water baptism to be saved. It does not. It takes the baptism into Christ and in His death. And notice in verse 3, it doesn't just say we're baptized into Christ. It says that we're baptized into His death. Because the death of Jesus, as we've been learning here for almost 20 years now, the death of Jesus is the means and the avenue by which God does all that He does. Hebrews 9, go home and read it, I encourage you. It explains how even those under the old covenant, have their sins were purged by the blood of Jesus Christ, and through the eternal Spirit working to cover all their sins by the blood of Jesus. So He's never changed in the way that He works. It's always been through the death of Jesus, because the Lamb was slain before the foundation of the world. And notice, as we continue, we're not going to speed this up. We're going to take our time because there's so much here. But as we get into the next few verses, it all starts with the baptism into death. The burial in verse 4 says it starts with, therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death. We're raised with Him by baptism into death. Because remember, as we learned, you'll have to remind me where the Scripture was, but the very power of God was wrought or worked in the death of Christ, and that's what raised him. That's what raises us.
Ephesians 1, 19 and 20 is what he's referring to. It says the exceeding greatness of God's power is toward us who believe. The same power that he wrought, he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead. Where was the power taking place? In the death of Jesus to raise him from the dead. It's powerful. We were immersed into his death. And most Christians are not aware of it, but we're not being made conformable to the resurrection. Philippians chapter 3, verse 10 says that we're being made conformable unto the death of Jesus. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, I hope you're taking notes or listen again, take notes the second time. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 11 tells us that God always delivers us unto the death of Jesus. How often? Always. He's never delivering you to the throne. He's never delivering you to the resurrection. He delivers you to the death of Jesus so you can get to the throne and have resurrection power. He delivers you unto death for Jesus' sake so you can express Jesus. I remember years ago, my family and I were in Marianna, Florida, and we were doing a little sit-down with a family of ministers there. And Andrew said something, and it just, boy, just made everybody's mouths drop. You know what I'm going to tell you? And Brother Greg, could we put Galatians chapter 3, verse 27 on the TV tonight, Galatians chapter 3, verse 27. We were there in Florida, and I don't know if this is the scripture that was being presented that made Andrew say what he said. I'll share it with you in just a minute. Galatians 3 and 27, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ, and what did that mean? We were baptized into his what? His death, have put on Christ. When you were immersed into Christ, you put on Christ. Now, there's other writings in the New Testament that tell us, as already saved people, to put on Christ. So does that mean I need to go back and get baptized in the water tank again? No. And you said something about, so I guess I got to just keep getting water baptized forever. If it's talking about water baptism, I just got to go in the tank today. I got to go back in the tank tomorrow. I got to go back in the tank the next day because I'm told to put on Christ. And a lot of times I'm going through life and I realize I don't have on Christ. So I guess I need to go get in a water tank and get baptized. You know, it's not talking about water. As many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. When did you put him on? The first time you were saved, you put him on. But again, let me remind us, the New Testament encourages us to put on Christ. Why? Because there are times we're not wearing him. And that's why God always delivers us unto the death of Jesus, because only there can we put him on.
Yeah, Colossians 2:6. I remember it because I thought of it when we first started tonight, that memory you're talking about. We were sitting up on that stage, and I believe we were talking about Romans 6:3, and it was Colossians 2:6 that says, as you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. And I remember thinking, if I received him by water baptism, that means every day in order to walk in him, I've got to be dunked in the water again, right? Because as you received him. Now, I know we are picking on water baptism tonight, and rightfully so. I'm not going to say we're not. We are. But we also can talk about any other thing besides faith. If I've got to go to the altar every time I need to walk in Christ because I think that I received him because I was at an altar, that means in order to walk in Christ, in order to live Christianity out, I've got to lay down and camp out at the altar. Now, many people, they show that they do actually believe that, as crazy as it sounds. But that is a reality. That's what's really being said and expressed when we just think and feel, if I don't get down to the altar this Sunday morning and have an experience, I can't live for God. That's the same as, I know it sounds crazy when you first mention it, but that thought process is there. But it doesn't just end there. If I think that I've got to say a certain prayer, the same prayer that I said the moment I got saved for forgiveness or whatever it might be, and I just have to say some repetitive prayer, that also applies to this situation. That's works. You weren't saved by a prayer you prayed. You were saved by the death that He died. You were saved by His death, burial, and resurrection. And that's why God made it the only way it could ever be done for us to actually not only believe it, but live it every moment. There was only one way, and it was by faith. And it was by actually Him doing the work. Because if our salvation or our sanctification or our victory was ever dependent on what we would do, it would never last. It wouldn't even last a second.
Mm-hmm. So anybody who's in Christ, they've believed that Jesus died for their sins. And that's not just some little thought in the mind, well, of course, okay, I'll believe that, okay, if that's what you want. No, there's great conviction that comes by the Holy Spirit. When we hear the gospel, we actually get convicted that we're sinners. We actually get convicted, and there's a fear there that comes over our heart, like, I'm in trouble with God. I'm on my way to hell. If this gospel that's being preached to me is right, and it's my only way to escape being guilty of my sin before God and getting to heaven, then if I don't accept it, then that means I'm going to hell. And so there's this Holy Spirit fear that's there being stirred in our hearts, and when we believe it, we are immersed immediately right there into the death of Jesus. Not when Sunday comes around after we believed, and not when we finally get to get in the water tank, not when we finally give something in the offering. Salvation is based on what Jesus did at Calvary alone. Salvation is of the Lord. It is the salvation of God. It's His salvation that He offers to humanity, and He provided it through the death of His own Son. And all I have to do is believe it. And if I try to add to it, I eliminate myself from it. Let me say it the right way. If I add to it, I eliminate at least myself from the benefits of it. Because I can believe in Jesus. I can believe and become saved and then get tied up with all sorts of people who are telling me, well, you're not really saved unless you're baptized in water in the name of Jesus only, and you got to come out of there speaking in tongues and all kind of weirdness. And you can get caught up in that and start going after that. And though you got saved, the danger in that is you could end up lost. And the best of that scenario is living your entire life bound under the law. But death, baptism into the death of Jesus is key. If you don't know that all of the Bible, the New Testament talks about in Him, in Christ, of Christ, that all that's talking about being in Him by immersed into His death at Calvary, you're not going to understand the New Testament. You're not going to understand how to live in victory. And when you start doing bad, you're going to start thinking you can do good and outweigh. You've heard me tell it for years. You do a big piece of stupid on Friday, and then Monday you see somebody that needs some food, so you try to give them some money to feed them to try to make up for your big piece of dumb on Friday, and it won't work because Jesus paid it all. I'm not paying any of it. He paid it all. And this is why you and I can study the Word in the New Testament, and we're told over and over and over again in the New Testament. Now, most of the church don't like to hear it, that you're dead. You're dead. This life's not about you building a castle and becoming a king. This life is about you expressing Christ. But to be able to do that, you have to walk with your faith in what it was in when you got saved, which was in Christ, in His death. And when your faith remains there, not in what you're doing, then you can express Him. And again, that's why God always delivers us unto death, so that we can express the life of Christ. You can't express the life of Christ if your faith's not in His death. And your faith is not in His death just because you say it is. Your faith is in His death. That is an inside the heart issue. That is, I'm believing with my heart. I can talk about the cross and not be believing in it. You died with Christ. You were crucified with Him. You're dead. Your life is hid with Christ in God. Don't you know you're dead? You're dead. You're dead to the rudiments of this world. You're dead, and you're hidden with Christ in God. And you're only being delivered by the God who loves you to the place where He manifests that love, which was the cross, so that you can express that love to a dying world. In Christ means faith in His death. When you ask somebody, is your faith in Christ? If they don't know that means in His death, then their faith is not in Christ. Your faith in Christ doesn't mean that, yeah, my faith's in Christ, hallelujah. Your faith in Christ means your faith is in His death. Have you ever thought about this? When you heard the gospel and you believed it with the heart, you were hearing about what Jesus did by dying for you. You believed in His death, and the Holy Spirit took you and immersed you in where your faith was. You were believing in what Jesus did at the cross for you by dying, and that legitimate faith being in the death allowed the Holy Spirit to immerse you into the death of Jesus. And your object of faith is never to leave that. Your object of faith is never to leave the death of Jesus, because that's where the power that God wrought in Christ from the dead is to raise you up and allow you to live this life. And we'll see that in this sixth chapter, that you have to be planted together in the likeness of Christ's death to experience His resurrection power.
When we don't know what it is that delivered us and what happened at our deliverance when we got saved, the blood of Jesus and what He did at Calvary, then we will begin to look to other things and trust in those things, even if those things are good things. As I've mentioned tonight, baptism, it's a good thing. It's not only a good thing, we're told to do it by God after we get saved. That means if you need to be water baptized because God has told you to do so to show the world you've been saved. Mm-hmm. Not for your salvation, but as a result. But a good example of this, of turning good things into objects of faith, is Exodus chapter 32. The children of Israel had been delivered out of Egypt by what? The blood of the Lamb. So it's a picture of the church being delivered out of sin by the blood of the Lamb, being born again. And they were on their way to the promised land, which is a picture of the church being on our way into Christ in perfect union with Him one day when we see Him. And they were in the wilderness. And what happened in the wilderness? Well, when Moses was taking too long on the mountain, in their eyes, they got impatient and they began to take those things which were gifts from God through the Egyptians, the gold earrings, the blessings that God had gave them while they were on their way out of Egypt, the good things, the privileges, the riches. They began to take those and make a golden molten calf, and they begin to exclaim, "This is the God that delivered us out of Egypt." But it had only been 50 days since they saw the blood and the many other wonders deliver them out of Egypt. And my point in saying all this is they begin to take that which was given to them by God in their Exodus and worship that instead of God. And even to the point of saying, these things that have turned into this golden calf is what delivered us out of Egypt. And that might sound crazy to us, but we do the same thing when we take the good things like prayer, like fasting, like baptism, like witnessing the gospel, like giving, and when we begin to trust in those things for anything from God, instead of trusting in Him and what He did to deliver us, the blood of the Lamb, the blood of Jesus. We take those good things and we make them our idol, and we say, this is what delivers us. Prayer is what delivers from sin. But Paul, as we've already mentioned tonight, he found himself in a similar place. In Romans chapter 7, it tells us he was trusting in the law. But what happened when he started to trust in the law? He says, when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. Instead of being dead to sin, as we heard last week, as Dad brought out in Romans chapter 6, verse 1, dead, instead of now continuing in sin, we're dead to sin. Now we find ourselves as a place in believers when we trust in anything other than the cross. We find ourselves once again experiencing death in sin instead of death to sin. And the command in this chapter, as we'll see, really it's in verse 11. Likewise, reckon you also yourselves to be dead unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's just another reason that he always delivers us over to his death, so that we can reckon ourselves to be dead.
Mm-hmm. And express Christ. Romans chapter 6, verse 3. Let's just start over. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? God literally took you as a born again, a new believer, and placed you into the death of Christ. And then Christ has already taught us, abide in me, remain in me, continue in where you were placed in me. Into where? Into death. Every time that we do a big piece of stupid in this world as Christians, every time we snap off, every time we do something, every time we get ourselves in trouble, every time, it's while we're not trusting in what Jesus did at Calvary. You see, most Christians only think of the cross as it pertains to initial salvation. But the Bible says it's the preaching of the cross that is the power of God to us who are saved. Not only does it save, but it gives us the power to live saved. And every time I say something I shouldn't, do something I shouldn't, it's always while I'm not trusting in the death of Jesus. Because if I were trusting in that, I'm not talking about that we'll, you know, even when we're doing something we shouldn't be doing, we believe the cross happened. We believe it's what God did in Christ to save us, but we're not trusting in our union with Christ. Listen, I told Brother Greg before church tonight, for a lost person to believe in Christ is to enter Christ through faith in his death. For the child of God, the born again believer, faith in Christ means the experience now of our union with him in his death. Did you understand that? For the lost person, they hear the gospel, they believe it, and faith in Christ is their entrance into his death. For the born-again Christian, we're not believing every day to be saved again from hell. For us, our faith in Christ now means that we are trusting in Christ and what he did by dying for us so that we can experience our union with him in death. Our union with Christ is in his death. Our union with Christ, our fellowship, the Bible says in Philippians 3 and 9 or 3 and 10, that our fellowship with him is in his sufferings, not our sufferings, his sufferings. So that we can experience this resurrection power. You got to understand Romans chapter 6, verse 3, because if you don't, you'll really, most Christians, you ask them what it means to be in Christ, and they'll say, well, because I believed he died for me. And that's true. But then they don't know how to live in victory. They don't know how to live with the power of God. And then some guy comes along and says, well, you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And you do. You need to be baptized with the Holy Spirit with evidence of speaking in other tongues. All that is biblical. But that's not going to give you power over the sin nature dominating you. That will only really make things worse for you unless you know the truth of Romans chapter 6. You have to learn of your position is not only in heaven right now with Christ, but your position there is because of your faith in his death. And the experience of our position that is in Christ in heavenly places, we say in Christ, we should say with Christ in heavenly places, because that's not in Christ there, although we are, that is with Him. Here, the experience of being with Him is our faith in Him and what He did at Calvary. If your faith gets moved, as Andrew said, to something other than the death of Jesus, then you're trusting in yourself. And God puts you, when He saved you, in the place where self was crucified, removed. And again, that's why He delivers us always to the death of Jesus, because there self is denied and Christ is glorified, magnified. Nowhere else. I'm not magnifying Christ if I'm trusting in something other than His death. We've got to understand, and that's why He says, don't you know? Don't you know this? So many of us, as we're baptized into Jesus Christ, we're baptized into His death. That's where God puts you. Hear me very carefully. That's where God puts you to hide you from the world and to keep you from the world. Dead in Christ can't be even touched by the devil. You're dead, and buried means put away and gotten rid of, and who you are now in Christ, God, that's why God forbids that you boast in anything but the cross. He forbids that you boast in anything but the cross, Galatians 6:14, because the cross is where God saved you. That's where He filled you with all that He has for you. That's where He got rid of the old you and made you new in Christ. That's where He hid you. You're hidden. You're crucified from the world right there in the death of Jesus. God took care of it all at Calvary. There's an old song they used to sing, Calvary covers it all. It literally does. Amen. So, Romans chapter 6, let's read verse 3 and then move into verse 4 just for a minute before we get out of here tonight. Know ye not that so many of us, as we're baptized into Jesus Christ, we're baptized into His death. That means that's where God put us. And He literally immersed you into it. I mean, He immersed you. If you want to look at this in symbolic way of water baptism, you can do that, because water baptism is symbolic of this saving act of God. And when you go down under the water, there ain't no air down there to breathe. And even water baptism, all of the demonstration in water baptism, as Andrew already said, is a picture of what God did for you and to you at Calvary. Water baptism, you get there in the tank and somebody else's hands get put on you. Somebody else takes you and puts you down under the water, and them same hands, not yours, raises you up out of the water. And that's all symbolic of you believing and dying and being immersed into the death of Jesus and then resurrected with Jesus on the third day. It's all symbolic. But you have to understand, you were immersed completely in the death of Jesus. Dead is dead. And when God puts you in Christ, your old man died. I mean, dead is dead. Dead is dead. Dead is dead. Y'all know dead is dead. If it weren't, if there was something we could do, we probably wouldn't never let anybody die, because we think it wouldn't ever time. We just, one more day, Lord. One more day, Lord. One more day, Lord. But when it comes time and death is there, that's it. It's over. It's the end as far as this earth goes, and you can't do nothing about it. And when we got put in Christ, we died to who we used to be. The cross of Christ is where our old life ended and our new life began. That's why it's more than just forgiveness of sins. That's the first thing that happened. God forgave you of your sins, washed you clean, and made you a new creation in Christ. But there He hid you there. And it's only when we come out of that place in this world and start trying to dabble in sinful things do we get ourselves in trouble. Stay hidden. Stay hidden. You stick your head out and the devil will slap it off your neck. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death. How were we put away in death, in burial? By baptism into death. See, death is the focus of all of God's plan for men, death. Because we sinned, and the wages of sin is death. Amen. So God sent his son so we could go ahead and die and get rid of the old and become the new. So therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like, everybody say like, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. You see, here it is. If you've died with Christ, what's left is the new creation in Christ. And out of that place of being dead, buried, comes newness of life. If that's where your faith stays anchored, then you can live for God. This is a great revelation given again to the man who wanted to live for God. He was crying out, "I'm a mess. Who can save this old wretched man from this sinful body of death?" And but then the revelation came and Paul said, "But thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord." That's not just by saying Jesus Christ. Through Jesus Christ means your faith in him, and through his death, burial, and now resurrection, you can live in victory. You don't have to go to bed at night crying yourself to sleep every night. You can live in victory. Amen. You can. I'm not talking about some life where you never sin. You still gonna sin. If you say you don't, you lie, and you're sinning now. You still gonna sin, but now you know how to live. Now you will learn from Romans chapter 6 how to live in victory, where to go to get forgiven, and not just forgiven, but to stay hidden and come back into alignment with God's prescribed order of victory in life. Amen.
And that's why Paul started off by saying, "Don't you know?" Because we have to know this in order to live in victory. He also says in Philippians 3:10, "That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death." Mm-hmm. Not to his resurrection, but to his death, to attain resurrection power in order to know him. In order to know Christ, in order to experience him, it's got to be through the means of his death. Through the means of his death is how he does all that he does for us. Mm-hmm. To us, through us, and in us. Amen.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Just one last thing and we're quitting. And because this is not understood, this is really the lack of understanding of what we're teaching in Romans 6 is a huge open door for much false doctrine. Much heresy, pretty much basically almost all of it, if not all of it. Because if you don't understand Romans 6, then you don't know how to live for God. I'm not being ugly, that's true. Because you ask some Christian, "How do you live for God?" And they'll say, "Well, you pray, go to church, give." No, I didn't ask you what you do. I'm asking you, sir, how do you live for God? How do I go to church when I don't want to go to church? How do I give when I don't want to give? How do I pray when I don't want to? How do I live for God? Because I want to, and it seems like I can't get there. How do you live for God? 99.9% of all Christians will start saying, "Well, you just go to church, you pray, you study the Word." And yes, those things are involved, but that ain't how, that's what. How do I live for God? How do I turn the other cheek when they slap one, like Jesus taught? Instead of going through life saying, "Well, it can't nobody perfect, you can't be like Jesus, you're his body." What do you mean you can't be like him? Romans chapter 6 delivers us out of the excuses as to why we can't live for God and brings us into the reality. Not only can we, but tells us how. And again, let me say it, any Christian that doesn't know Romans chapter 6, they can't live for God in a victorious manner. I can't do it. Because any Christian that doesn't know Romans chapter 6, they're trying and working hard to live for God under their own efforts, and they don't understand the difference between what to do and how do I do the what to do. One last thing the Lord told me yesterday on the way back from Texarkana yesterday evening, just spoke it into my heart and told me. I posted it on my Facebook page last night or this morning, one of the two. But it was that it wasn't the shout that brought the walls of Jericho down. It was the obedience to God that brought the walls down. Oh, they shouted, but it wasn't the shout that made the walls fall. It was their obedience. You need to understand, it ain't about what you do, it's about did God tell you to do that? It ain't about all the what to do, it's about how do we do this? How do we live for God? Because there are a lot of praying people, church-going people, studying the Word people, but they ain't living in victory. They're bound in sin. You got to know Romans chapter 6, because as we go through this, you'll see the answer to your moment-by-moment victory is in this chapter. Amen? Would you stand with me?